All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Answer me like you are warm. The Lord is good. All right, let's rise to our feet. I want us to just take a moment and just declare the word of understanding that we usually do when we want to study. All right. If you believe that the Holy Spirit is in you, give me an amen.
Amen.
And that God has given a special word for you today, give me an amen.
Amen.
Now, because of that, I want you to repeat after me. Say, I am being filled with the knowledge of His will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. See, as a result of it, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Say, this evening, the word of the Lord is coming to me. It is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I said amen. All right, take your seats. The Lord is good. God's change agents. That's what I'm talking about this evening. God's change agents. And that's a short caption for what we want to look at. That is the impact of faith on our environment, the impact of faith on our society, the impact of faith on our nation. If you follow me on Twitter, there was something I tweeted about 2 days ago, and I explained that there is a difference between, I said a number of things, but one of them I talked about the fact that there's a difference between faith that is alive and faith that is dead. And I explained that faith that is dead has some works that it does. And one of them is that it can fill churches. It can fill churches. There's a difference between faith that is alive and faith that is dead. There was a time I was on radio, a live program in Enugu. I was talking about faith and works. And I remember, you know, when you talk about faith and works, there's a small confusion that Christians often have. And that is the fact that salvation is by faith, and they know. We believe that salvation is by faith. If you believe that, give me an amen.
Amen.
Salvation is not by works. If you believe it, give me an amen.
Amen.
Now, it's understanding the meaning of faith that's not the problem. Do you get my point? Sometimes, so because that day, remember I tried to explain to people that, listen, if you claim you gave your life to Christ, and you still continue in all your works of evil, that you are not saved. And the one man called, his issue was that, how can you try and imply that salvation is by works? I said, no, nobody ever says salvation is by works. I wrote an article on it. You can go to the blog of pastor.ng and read it there. Why James had to write. That is, there's a difference between faith that is alive and faith that is dead. And that if we all agree that salvation is by faith, but the question we need to ask ourselves is that if faith is dead, can it still save? And James said, such a faith cannot save anybody. We know that salvation is purely by faith, but we must be sure that that faith is alive. Please get that point. You must be sure that that faith is alive. You cannot just tell me that salvation is by faith and anything I decide to call faith will save. And that was what James wrote about. James said, yes, I know salvation is by faith, but for goodness sake, if somebody has a faith that is dead, can such a faith save anybody? And he gave an example. My pocket is full of money. My bank account is full of money. And a man comes to me, he says he's hungry. You understand? I know the restaurant where they sell food. I know where he can easily get food. I don't even have to follow him. I can easily give him 200 naira, 500 naira. Go and eat. And I decide, I know I want to walk by faith. And I put my hand on his stomach. I prophesy to the stomach, be filled. James said, why are you making mockery of this thing? Wouldn't it be easier for you to dip your hand in your pocket, give him the 500 naira, let him go and buy something? Why are you claiming that you have faith? James said, that faith is dead. James said something, that assuming that Abraham was justified by faith, we know. He said, but let us assume that God spoke to Abraham, and he told Abraham, get up and go to a land that I'm going to show you, follow me. And Abraham said, yes, yet he sits down and does not go. He said, that faith, will it save Abraham? Will Abraham say that I have believed, and therefore everything should be okay? James said, doesn't make sense. He said, God said to Abraham, go and sacrifice Isaac. And Abraham says to God, I agree, you are the God, you deserve Isaac. You deserve Isaac more than anybody else. In fact, not only Isaac, you will take Sarah. Not only Sarah, you will take me. Not only me, you add Ishmael and all the servants in my household. But he does not get up. 1 year later, Isaac is still there. 1 year later, Abraham is sitting down there. James said, that faith is dead. He did not say faith does not save. He just said faith that's dead cannot save. He now said, how will I know a faith that is dead? He said, check whether it is obeying God. He said, check whether it is obeying God. If it is not obeying God, he said it is dead. And he asked, can such a faith save anybody? That is why I want you to bear this in mind. Let nobody deceive you. That no matter how you live, as long as you have gone to church one day, I heard a man say this. I read it actually. I know they might listen to him. I read him say this. I was shocked. He wrote it in the book. That even if you go and deny Jesus, your salvation is intact. He said it. That if you go as far as denying that Jesus is the Son of God, if you go as far as denying that he came and rose again from the dead, he said, once you have one day put up your hand at an altar call, he said, you are saved. That is what is called faith that is what? Dead. And James said, it can't save anybody. So when I was tweeting that, that's what I was trying to say. That so, churches can be full is one of the effects of dead faith. The ability to fill churches is one of the effects of dead faith. It can fill churches. You can have a 20,000 member church and they are not mostly saved. Mostly they are not saved. You go and see what God told Ezekiel. Ezekiel said, do you know why they follow you? God told Ezekiel. He said, your voice sounds nice. You are like them, one that plays skillfully on an instrument and has a sweet voice. So he said, they follow you. Every Sunday you say that we are having our meeting in Viontel Hotel. They come. You know what God said to Ezekiel? He said, do you know how I know? He said, because everything you say, they hear it, they don't do it. So even though Ezekiel had a large following, the people following him, their faiths were dead. I make bold to say, Christianity, no, let me put it like this. Jesus is alive. Somebody say amen. His word is living. His word is active. The problem is that most people who claim to be believers don't believe anything. Every day I see Christians, I know they don't believe anything. They don't believe anything. Listen to me, once in a while, you assess your life. There must be something you are doing that does not make sense to other people apart from those who believe the word of God. That is when you know your faith is alive. If everything you do makes sense to the Muslim in your office, just know you are not a believer. You are a clown. You are joking. If every single thing you do, the way you run your business, the way you run your marriage, the way you run your career, the way you run your life, it makes sense to everybody else, please go and pray. Your faith is dead. Otherwise, faith impacts the environment. Faith impacts the society. If that faith is alive, it impacts places. Now, Jesus said you are the salt of the earth. I don't know how many of us have listened to this man, David Pawson. He's a beautiful preacher. If you can lay hands on his messages, you will enjoy him. He will teach you a lot. His name is David Pawson. Paul as in P-A-W, then S-O-N. Pawson is a beautiful teacher. If you go to davidpawson.org, you'll be blessed by his messages. He made a particular statement. Israel, can you remember the proportion he gave? Was it 5 or 15% about people in the society? I think it was 5%. 5%, thank you. He explained the particular principle that every time committed Christians and environment is up to 5%, they will transform the culture in that area. Just 5%. That committed believers. Now, let me use my own explanation. I'm not saying about those who just go to church, but those who are true believers. If an environment has 5%, that is, if you have 500 people, only 25. If you have 1,050 committed believers, he said they will affect that environment. Now, he was quoting that 5% from a study that was done on the impact of Christianity. But he was basing it upon what Jesus said. Okay? when he said that you are the salt of the earth. Because salt, the way salt is used, in fact, there's something we must bear in mind. We use salt when we say that Christians are the salt of the earth. We think we add flavor to the earth. That's not what it means. In the context in which Jesus spoke, he was saying we prevent decay on the earth. It's not about flavor. It's about preventing decay. Quickly, open up your Bibles. Let's just read that one. I want us to read that account from the book of Luke chapter 13. And because I'm not teaching in details about that, if you do go to David Pawson's website, look for the messages, Living as Salt and Light. Beautiful message. That's why he explained this thing I'm saying, and I just quoted. But there's something you'll find out here when that's using the account of Luke concerning salt. Luke chapter 14. He said, therefore, verse 34, salt is good. But if even salt has become tasteless, with what will it be seasoned? It is useless either for the soil or for the manure pile. So as a result, it is thrown out. He who has ears, let him hear. Now notice the two uses Jesus described for salt here. One is for the soil, and two, for the manure pile. This is the context here. Salt in the soil, in the soil is what you call fertilizer today. Fertilizer, you know, is big business. Why? It fertilizes the earth. It brings nutrients. It brings nutrition into the earth. It's not just about flavor. That's just a side effect. Secondly, for the manure pile, that is, it is used to prevent decay. That was what they used like a preservative. Now, that is how salt is used. Salt has its effect. Now, how does salt get its effect? Now, listen to this. I'm going to teach about this along the line. How does salt exact its effect? I will answer the question so that you get what I'm trying to say quickly. It does it only by, it doesn't do anything apart from being itself. Are you getting my point? It is not by going around preaching that Christians change the environment. The primary way Christians change the environment is just by being Christians indeed. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. I've seen people who go around every time preaching. If anything you say, they want to correct you. As a child of God, don't talk like that. When you go closer to them, you will discover that their lives are not in agreement with what they say. Now, these things are spiritual. Such people are a pollution to the environment. People like to get up and go around to go and preach. That's not where it starts from, changing the environment. And that is why, even though we, you know, this is your Port Harcourt, eh? God bless Port Harcourt. But, you need to pull down all kinds of strongholds. You know what I call stronghold? Poster. Billboard. There are so many everywhere you turn. It's one of the reasons why I say I don't want, if these days if you see posters, advertising programs where I'm ministering, if you see my face there, they did not ask my permission. I don't know if I'm printing my face again. You know, the day I made up my mind was when I came to Port Harcourt. I saw faces everywhere. Some of them smile like this. You don't know what kinds of. Say, Father in heaven. Now, and we think that is Christianity. Because we are everywhere. People will now be saying that, why is there are so many churches in Nigeria? The country is not changed. Is that is the explanation I'm giving you again this evening. Fake faith, faith that is dead, it can fill churches, but it does not change the environment. Because it does not lead people into the kingdom. And if they are not in the kingdom, they can't change the environment. I'm going to explain the principle of the theme. God's change agents. Faith's impact on the society, on the nation. Next point I want to make, I feel like a recruiting agent. Anybody's a recruiting agent? As if God has sent me, Banky, go and recruit people for me. One of our brothers sent me a prophecy. He pastors a church where they have a very strong prophetic anointing. In fact, the other day, another of my pastor friends were analyzing it. He said, these things these people are prophesying and seeing in visions is the same things we have been teaching from scripture. Are you getting my point? That is at least some of the things they will say, I will give you scriptures to show it's in the Bible like that. So I believe they are prophecies. One of the things he said to me last time was that they were praying, and the Holy Spirit said to them that they are praying correctly, but listen to this, but they are not enough. That the number of people doing these things rightly are not plenty. Let me tell you, this time that we spend chasing our enemies is God's time being wasted. I can just imagine the number of people and the number of hours we spend chasing our enemies this year. Every power, fighting my destiny, we die by fire. Now, you know that's some of the most stupid prayers that Nigerians pray. You know that, don't you know? You do. God bless you. Now, imagine the thousands of us that prayed, sometimes for a whole night. If the same people will pray accurate prayers for the same period of time, I can just imagine the effects you'll be having. The Lord said to those people that you are not enough. The amount of time we spend praying, this year, my year of promotion, this year, my year buying a car, this year, my year of building a house, that same thing is still a waste of time. Jesus specifically commanded, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Those things will be added. They are not supposed to be prayer points. The amount of time we spend on such things, if we only use them for proper, accurate praying, I'm just trying to imagine the kind of results we'll be seeing. So this evening, I feel like a recruiter. That God is saying through me, like Paul would say, be reconciled to proper Christianity. Because I need enough people. Listen, this number matters to God. This number matters. It's just that we don't know how he counts it. I'll give you an example. He went to Sodom and Gomorrah and said, I will spare the land if I can find 10 righteous people. And guess what happened? He did not find. And so we ask, why did Sodom and Gomorrah get destroyed? There are many answers which we can give. One of those answers is that they sinned and will be correct. The iniquity of Sodom and Gomorrah was abundant. There was sexual immorality and lack of care for the poor, two major sins they committed, and will be correct. But there's one other thing we could have said and would have been more accurate. Why was Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed? God could not find 10 righteous people. It was not the multitude of his iniquity, but the absence of righteous ones. Human beings run everywhere. Recently, I started complaining about Nigeria. Brain drain. I started again. I don't worry much about brain drain. What concerns me more is spiritual drain. Anytime I see a Christian relocate from Nigeria because of what shall we eat? What shall we drink? With what shall we clothe ourselves? It breaks my heart. Because more important than brain drain is spirit drain. I'd ask myself, Banky, what are you doing in Port Harcourt again this weekend? Then a scripture came to my heart again. Paul said, I want to visit you that I might impact what? A spiritual gift to you. So I said to myself, good, that yes, people can hear me on radio, they can download, but I said, but go there. Because there was a time I told myself, why are you moving up and down? Just increase the number of broadcasts now. Are you getting my point? Then I now remember something that Paul didn't say, I'll write more letters. He said, I want to come. My presence will do what? Impact a spiritual gift. That's okay. We have to keep moving. Because what's your spiritual gift? Faith. Faith, yes. Faith to walk with God. Faith to remain a blessing to the land upon which you stand. Faith to walk with God and not be afraid. Faith not to think that, what will happen to my children? I need to run to where they will be safe. I'm going to explain it to you again. Don't ever make such decisions. Your children are not safe anywhere, physically speaking. They are only safe where God is protecting them. My friend Pascal said something which, until I quoted him recently, I didn't even realize the impact of it. He pastors in the north, in Sokoto. During the last election, remember the tension? Yeah, before Goodluck Jonathan made that memorable phone call. Before that election, people had told him, send your children down. He said, okay, come down, just travel to the south during the crisis. He said, you've forgotten I'm a pastor of a church. They said, okay, send your children down. He said, what about the other children in the church? He now said something to me. He said, my children are safest where I am. So the day before the election was on Saturday, on Thursday, we were together on Wednesday, Thursday morning, he was rushing back to Sokoto. He said, I have to be present with my family. That's their safety. It makes me laugh. This is just by the way. Anytime I get here, I must take 2 minutes, okay? I want to take 2 minutes. Some of you, after today, you won't be able to greet me well. But let me tell you, I don't know. I'm not talking about you. They didn't report me to you that you have exported your wife and your children and you are in Nigeria so that they can be safe. Nobody told me. I don't know you. All of you, I think your wives are at home and your children are in the room or something, you know. So the Lord is good. But it is spiritual incongruity. Yeah, let me just summarize it like that. For you to tell me you want your children to have a brilliant future. So the solution is that they will see their father twice a year. I don't know whether I get my point. My children, I need them to have opportunities. So keep them where they can only see their parents 2 times in a year. Abroad, only when you have time to travel. So I'm talking to them on Facebook. I'm busy Facebook or FaceTime. No, it's not necessary. Your children are blessed where God is, where God's hand is upon them. And what you need to do is to activate the hand of God upon them by faith. Never forget that thing. Never forget it. When you are thinking about them, make sure you are doing things that activating his hand to be upon them. Don't look, Justin Trudeau cannot keep them for you. You know, my people are very interesting. Rush to Canada. The children are okay there. And meanwhile, Canada is legalizing Igbo smoking. As the children are coming, they are legalized. These boys, you will smoke, you will smoke, you will smoke. And you are confident. And you're not going to be there with them. Yet your spirit is at rest that they will not smoke Igbo. They will buy for you, don't worry. What am I impacting? Faith to do the will of God. Faith to impact the saltiness of your soul into the environment. That's what I'm preaching. That's what I've come to impact. Faith to keep this country, Nigeria, together, even in 2019. Faith to cancel every negative word that are not just simple predictions, but they are prophetic utterances released into the air so as to scatter the nation, scatter peace, scatter the economy. What am I impacting? Faith for you to rise up and decree the brilliant destiny that God created for this nation. Faith for the church to arise and be the Christ representative that they were meant to be. That's what I'm discussing. We're talking about the impact of faith on the society. Sometimes, you know, there are times I feel, you know, is it possible to feel sorry for God? I look at God and I say, sorry, though. No need to cry. How's it go? Ogadima. When I see the way we Christians behave, Jesus has to cry. Because, listen, there is no way. Let me say this. The only thing God can do without your help and my help is to destroy things. Let me say that again. The only thing the Lord can do without you and I, his people, cooperating is to destroy. He can't bless. The whole world is set on a course of destruction. Now, this is where my message is supposed to start from. That was an introduction. I'm starting preaching now. The whole world is set on a course of destruction. Let me tell you what the gospel is. I have thought about it, read through the scriptures, New Testament. Every time people need to preach, they did not preach what we preach now. You know what we preach these days? I'm not saying it's totally wrong, but it's not very balanced. What we preach these days is this. Give your life to Christ, and all your problems will go away. Give your life to Christ, and then you enter into prosperity. You know, we have this, give your life to Christ, you can prosper mindset. And then we start saying funny things like, as a Christian, you need to look good. So the unbeliever, we envy you. And then they will come into the kingdom. As a Christian, you know, so I hear some particular preacher, those they say, when you want to preach in the marketplace, you drive your Bentley, you know, and they'll be sharing out the tracks, they will listen to you. When you want to preach in the public, go with your S-class, you know, your GLK, and you come out when you want to preach, people will listen to you. Listen to me. I don't blame you. When you come from a society where everybody is poor, you'll be thinking like that. That's how poor background people think. You think all there is to life is money. Now, it's not only you. Me too, I used to think like that too. It was reading too much Bible that I realized the banking stuff is rubbish. You know what they used to preach? Repent and be delivered from the judgment to come. Yeah. Open your Bibles. Let's read this one. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. You see what Paul said there, describing what Jesus did for us. What did I say? I said Timothy. It's Thessalonians I meant to say. I just heard myself and I said, did you say Timothy? 1 Thessalonians. I don't know what's... Anyway, they are both T anyway. Chapter 1. Now, I'm going to verse 10, but let us back up to where we can get the context. Okay, let's have verse 9. For they themselves report about us what kind of a reception we had with you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from what? Who rescues us from what? The wrath to come. When they will say to Peter, what must we do to be saved? Another thing they used to say is, what must we do to be delivered from the judgment to come? Please, I need to say this to us clearly. This is very important. The whole world is on a pathway to destruction. As I watch the news today, and is it in Sweden or Switzerland? Where are they having the meeting to negotiate ceasefire in Yemen? Anyway, somewhere. And I smiled to myself. I said, what is going on in Yemen right now is a natural order of things. Don't be impressed. It's not strange. When you hear of Boko Haram, I want you to understand that is the natural order of things. That's where we are all heading. Whether you are Korean, American, Nigerian, Japanese, okay, Mexican. Mexico has so many, I don't think Mexico knows how they can still count the number of bodies they pick up every day. They're always killing people in Mexico. Sometimes when you hear Nigerians talk that too many, Nigeria is too violent, you know, it's very funny because America is more violent. Yeah, it is. More people die annually. More people have died in the United States this year from gunshot by other people than Boko Haram has killed since inception. That is the number of people that have died this year in the United States of America alone. As of last month or about a month ago, over 12,000 people have been killed through gunshots. And that does not include those who shot themselves. That one is 22,000. That's a natural order of things. It's normal. The war, the crisis in Somalia, you know, people say, you need to cut the country, you need to cut the country. You should cut this. Once you cut the country, there will be peace. Once you say that, I know you are not informed. Because you will have known that that was what they said in Sudan. And Sudan is Arabish North, Muslim. And the one that annoys you, they will not say the South is Christian. It's not true. Christian is not the man who answers Peter. But let's not go there yet. The South is the kind of thing we also have in Nigeria, a mixture of all kinds of human beings that are non-Muslims, and they now therefore call them Christians. Once you are not Hindu, you are not Chinese, and you are not Muslim, they say you are a Christian. In the world seems to recognize just Muslims, Christians, and Chinese who are Buddhists. Once you are not the three, just as you are a Christian. So therefore, every kind of human being is called a Christian. Anyway, that's what they said about South Sudan. Do you know since they divided Sudan to Sudan and South Sudan, there has been no peace in Juba, that is South Sudan. Now they are all black. There's no Hausa Fulani there. All of them are now the same now. I like one thing this man said once, Kaduna governor, El-Rufai. El-Rufai said that, when Nigerians said that, if we because we are, he said it's not true. He said there's no nation on the earth as diverse as United States of America. They don't have our own kind of problems. He said, but in Somalia, there are 99% Muslims, they all speak the same language. They've not had peace. In fact, the United States finally opened their embassy this week. Since they closed it before the early days of Bill Clinton, was when they closed it because of crisis. They had to airlift their embassy staff out. But they are all the same. That is, they are mostly Muslims. The same tribe, the same language from the beginning to the end, Somalia. If that will solve our problem, why has it not solved it for them? I'm describing all of these things for us to know that that is what is called the wrath to come. That is what will overtake, listen to this, that is what will overtake every nation on this earth. Now, let me say something to you quickly so you don't get carried away, including Canada and United States. I don't need to tell you, including South Africa. They already have it already. I'm just mentioning where people, our people like to go and hide. Include, in fact, when, sometimes now, this is not prophetic, this is just my way of reasoning. When I look at Brexit, you know what they call Brexit? Britain is leaving the European Union. Sometimes I look, I said, maybe God wants to keep Britain. You know what God did in Israel? He divided Israel into two. When Jesus came, there was no Israel, it was only Judah. Israel was divided into Israel and Judah. The other nations had scattered Israel. That's northern Israel. And they kept southern Israel for a while, what we call Judah. Then later on, they scattered that one too. The other ones, they did not even exist again. Now, I thought about it. I said, is that what God is doing with this Brexit thing? Because I am convinced of this. You can't insult God for as long as Europeans have done it, and he will not do anything. I am 100% convinced of it. You can't insult God for as long as Europeans have done it. What do you may call insult God? Say he does not exist. Since the time I was a little boy, when I became aware of things as a university student, okay, I already found out that the age of sex consent for sex in Holland, then there was no European Union, everyone did what it was 12. Yes. I'm talking about 30 years ago. The age of consent that you can say, yes, I've made up my mind, is 12. As at that time, prostitutes were paying tax on their trade. They were among the first to legalize mercy killing. The Germans rose up long ago and scattered the scriptures. The same people that God used, Martin Luther, the same people God used to liberate us into reading the scriptures, they also rose up and scattered it. They developed what they call higher criticism. They would take the scripture and say, Jesus did not really multiply bread. He had them share the bread they had. That was a miracle. And they did it for a long time. Upon that basis of their scattering the scriptures, Hitler rose and plundered Europe. It was the judgment of God. But guess what? It was a warning. I was telling my wife earlier today. I said, you know, I thought about it. One of the most deceptive places to run to is a safe place, physically speaking. Because when God really wants to destroy people, he makes sure they are safe until the day of destruction. He said, when they say peace, peace, then sudden destruction will come upon them. Assuming you were a citizen of Sodom and Gomorrah, and you traveled to go to Onitsha to go and buy something, by the time you came back, there was no Sodom, there was no Gomorrah. I don't know whether you are getting my point. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah was overnight. Today, there was this civilized plain prospering. Listen, that's another thing you must understand. When God wanted to punish Sodom and Gomorrah, he did not warn them with hunger. Hunger is always a warning. He didn't warn them with hunger. Their economy prospered to the last moment. If it's economic prosperity, Sodom and Gomorrah did not know anything could go wrong. So that's why they could say, where is God? Because the business consultants then will write a proposal for you on how to multiply your grapes, triple your harvest, and it will work. So they felt like God. And when men who felt like God decided to go after what the Bible calls strange flesh, the man decided that he doesn't want to marry a woman again. At the age of 62, he wants to become his transgender. And then they will say, yeah, come out of the closet. You are better stay in the closet for your own safety. They did all kinds of things. That's what they were doing. Why wouldn't you do that? You know, there are madnesses that go with prosperity. They say, when I've eaten, I'm full. I say, where is God? That's how it goes. I mean, you write a small business proposal or write a program, you put it on Play Store and on Apple Store, and you become a billionaire after 2 years. And you didn't pray.
You need to wake up early, go to bed late, and strike oil. That's according to J.P. Getty. You will say, where is God? That's what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. But this is the point. God left them like that. You must understand, God was determined to destroy Sodom. He was determined to destroy Gomorrah. Jesus said, if the same miracles he did in Bethsaida, woe to you, Bethsaida and Chorazin. He said, if the same miracles he did there had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. Why did he not do it there? Because he had made up his mind, he's going to destroy these people. So you know what happened? They prospered to the last moment. So when they went to bed, many of them did not wake up. Those who knew the city, who cried, they're like, I need to get to Sodom. So that's where the action is. By the time they got to Sodom, they were looking, but they called home. Oh boy, you told me that after the mountain, there's Sodom. So the guy said, yes, I was there last week. He said, no, there's nowhere here. All I see here is ashes, smoke. Smoke, the place smelling, sulfur, sulfur smell here, strong. The guy said, wait, wait, don't put off your phone, I'm coming. He came there. Make a long story short, Sodom was wiped out overnight. Yesterday was a prosperous land, the next day was a no land. What am I going to say? There's nowhere physically peaceful on the earth. Nowhere. Nowhere physically peaceful on the earth enough for you to go and hide. There is none. Abraham was safer in his tent, risking rogues and lions. He was safer than inside that place. What am I going to emphasize? Listen, there is no safety anywhere. Safety is only in God. The whole earth is on a simple pathway towards destruction. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You know what that means? If ever there will be a reversal of that travel down the road of destruction, it will be because salt has been poured into the place. Please, take a country like ours. Sometimes we just assume things. You just assume that it will be peaceful. When I was much younger, I wanted to live in Jos. Beautiful, peaceful place. Now, you don't want to live in Jos. Port Harcourt used to be like a foreign country. Praise God, it will soon become like that again. Let's just leave it like that. There is nowhere safe on this earth. Nowhere. There is nowhere that is safe. That's why I say I'm recruiting for God. What is he saying? We need to pour salt everywhere. That's what God is saying. We need to pour salt everywhere. There was something my brother was telling me about, Pastor Corey said. Because the pastor's in Sokoto, a lot of people will be telling him, of course you can understand, and I warn people that if you want to incur his wrath, tell him what are you still doing there. He'll be very offended. If you are concerned about him, help him. Send the church a gift. Send him a personal gift. Don't ask him what he's doing there. Because once somebody told him something, at least leave that place. That one said, but I have a ministry. He said, no, you can do ministry in Abuja. Move from Sokoto and come to Abuja. You know one thing he said, and I want you to know it as the truth of the word of God. He said that if I live there, the thing you are telling me to run away from will come and meet you in your house. You know what he was saying? He says, people like me that are keeping it far away from you. Let's make a long story short. Say, no retreat. No surrender. If I move down, he said, it gets closer. And that thing I know to be a matter of fact. Where you stand as a child of God repels evil. I'm not talking about where you have been praying. No. Where you just stand. There's an electric current that it's injected into the earth. And it starts pushing things backwards. You want to redeem any land? Instead of whining and complaining, God says, rise up, become what I called you to be. Your presence will push back the evil that others are complaining about. That I know there's a kind of pride that thing has generated in me. Developed long ago. I have a kind of pride that is godly. You say, how can pride be godly? No. Jeremiah said that. Let him that boast. Boasting is not the problem. Is in what?
It's in what that matters. There's a boast I have in the Lord. I tell everybody, I will never go anywhere looking for money. It's just an insult to my mind. It's just an insult. If I can't find any other thing in purpose than you will make money, you will never find me there. Never. Never. That was the pride God built in my heart long ago. When I first left university, just finished NYC. And then, my colleagues, I trained as a doctor. My colleagues were being paid $70 a month. That was our salary. Calculated $70. I remember it well. 5,000 naira a month salary. $1 is 70 naira. What is that? 4,900 is $70. Push it 75. If you work like you want to die, you get $100. So you can understand why Nigerians couldn't stay at home. But there was just one pride inside my soul. I just couldn't imagine that I'll get to a man's country and I'll be looking in my soul like a beggar. Like, bros, anything for the boys. It did my body with one kind. And then it was now more terrible because I was staying with an auntie of mine, actually my cousin. And occasionally I follow her, we go around together. I would go to Eleke Crescent, go to those areas where embassy did for Lagos those days. And I see the insult my people will take because they want to travel. I told people, I said, Lila, in Jesus' name, I will never take this insult for anybody. I said, if I won't do this to go and preach the gospel, why will I not do it to go and look for what? They say, you want to go abroad, you know, you come and join a queue at 2 a.m. The embassy gate is opening by 9, you know. Then you come and join the queue at 2 or 3 in the morning. So I said, why? Is the place they are going the kingdom of God? I said, no. I'm sorry. You know, I just couldn't take it. I just could not take it. So I never tried. And I said, no. So I made up my mind. I said, I'm not queuing for anybody in any embassy. I'm sorry. I felt this sense of pride. Godly pride, though. Remember that my salary, how much was it? $70. So you know, basically I get money. In fact, when I made up my mind, I was not even earning that $70. Nobody was even paying it to me yet. God even let me get away. So who gave me that $70? I was just hanging around. But I said, I will not do this for anybody because I'm a redeemed of the Lord. I felt the godly pride. Now, that's how I am till today. That is how I am till today. I understand that God has created me and you. Once you're a believer, He said you're a positive influence everywhere you go. So I tell people, that is why, you don't understand. A country like ours, not Nigeria. I'm a soldier of Christ. I don't know whether I get my point. I will stay in the place where He kept me and fight till the commander says withdraw. If he doesn't, we die there. I will never, God helping me, live a life of deliberate. You know what I call it? Life of deliberate. Everything you are just doing, all you are doing, just so what will you eat? I'm going somewhere. So you see, you are in Port Harcourt, you are in River State, you are in Nigeria now. No matter the crisis you see, God says, you are a soldier, solve it. I don't know whether you are getting my point. See, that's the mindset you must have. I'm a solution. And that is why you don't open your mouth and start commenting anyhow. Buhari did this one, Atiku did this one, but Bitobi did this one, and Oshibajo did that one. What's wrong with themselves? How can they write the law? How can Fulani hear me good to be what this country, the fuel is scarce. How can fuel not be scarce? How can the gas? Every day, talk. Then you now come up with a verdict. We're not going anywhere. You know what you are? You're an Islamic fundamentalist in an American army. You know those kind of people that enter military base and shoot their own people. You see, as we go on, your mouth is a weapon of war. I am convinced. You see, this is our continent. This is our continent, Africa continent. I'm a Christian, amen, but I believe I'm on assignment, okay? So I don't want to be racist or tribalistic or anything. So I don't want to be too strong on African, but I just believe I'm on an assignment. So let me just talk on the platform of my assignment. I believe that God loves this continent. He has a special mission for the people of this continent. But what he planned, what he wants to do, cannot be effected until we rise up and become what he created each one of us to be. He wants to showcase the salvation that is in Jesus from this continent. I believe he has, now this is now again, everything I've said so far, I'm 100% certain. But the one I want to say now, I'm just speculating. I believe that the gospel that will liberate Middle East out of Islam into the gospel of Jesus Christ will come from this zone. That's what I think. And I have my reason. My reason is because I believe that God has given up on Americans preaching that gospel to them. That's my what I think. I just believe that God would not put the anointing to read the Middle East people on an American. God said they won't listen. That they have said things too much that has hardened the heart of the people. So he said, where will I save them from? And everybody, Jesus and the angel said, save them from Africa. So I'm convinced that, like I said, it's my own thought. Okay? I'm not 100% on it. The one I'm 100% on, I've told you. But it's just my own thinking and has made, give me a strong persuasion that part of the destiny that God has for us is to liberate those people that are just above us over there. All the way, that is, from the Sahara across into the Middle East. We have a destiny of bringing all of them into the gospel of Jesus. That's my thought. That's my own thought. But before we can do that, we have to put our houses in order. I hope you're getting my point. Now, I made an important point. Let's go to the next point. Now, this was where I thought I would start from, but remember, faith's impact on the society and on the nation. I hope to, before we finish, pray again for Nigeria with a different kind of insight. I want us to pray before we're done for the next election, 2019, with a different kind of insight. I want us to pray for our society with a different kind of insight. Because many of the Christians, the prayers we've been praying for this country, God, for many of us, God has not been answering. In fact, what he has done, he has refused to listen. My daughter told me yesterday, about 2 days ago, that in their school, a prayer point was raised that they should pray that Buhari will leave Aso Rock. Children praying in a school, in an assembly ground. Prayer, let's pray for the country that the head of state will go. You know what God just does? He just pretends like people didn't see anything. Because if he answers us according to the multitude of our iniquity, but that's iniquity. Many people now praying for 2019, they have made up their mind God's choice. And God's choice is after the sin of their eyes. They've looked, they don't like this person. As of Elaturu Toye and Co., they have no chance. Fela, Obi, what's the name of the other man? Moralu, So we, in our hearts, we have gathered all of them and said, this one's no chance. Even God cannot make them head of state. So we'll now look at the last two. The two big boys. The two old men, 70 and above. We looked at the two of them and decided that this one is better. We say he must be the will of God. That is called judging after the seeing of your eyes and the hearing of your ears. None of them is the will of God. That is like you have not discerned God's will. You are just talking. And because of that, you have been praying and your prayer has been wasted. I'm giving you a prophetic word. You've been wasting time. It's important we know what is right to pray. It's important we know what is right to say. Now, there's a scripture I want us to read. You'll see what I'm talking about in a moment. Quickly, let's open this to this book of Ecclesiastes. Now, this was where I intended to start from. Everything I said till now was supposed to be a preamble and an unintended introduction, but I believe you have been blessed so far. Let's start from Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Now, when I first read this, you might be wondering why I'm reading it. Then, I will explain it. Now, it's one particular verse I want, but I like to take the scriptures in context. So we're going to start from verse 8 and read all the way to verse 14. But you will pay particular attention to verse 9. I'm using the New American Standard. It said, the end of a matter is better than its beginning. Patience of spirit is better than haughtiness of spirit. Do not be eager in your heart to be angry. For anger lies in the bosom of fools. Do not say, why is it that the former days were better than these? For it is not from wisdom you ask about this. Wisdom, along with an inheritance, is good, and an advantage to those who see the sun. For wisdom is protection, just as money is protection. But the advantage of wisdom, or of knowledge, is that wisdom preserves the lives of its possessors. Let's stop reading there. Now say we should stop where? Verse 14. Okay. Consider the work of God. For who is able to straighten what he has bent? He said, in the day of prosperity, be happy. But in the day of adversity, consider. God has made the one as well as the other, so that man will not discover anything that will be done after him. Praise God. Now let me pass the comment. You see what I'm trying to get at in this. First of all, before I go into that comment, however, is the book of Ecclesiastes I just read from. It's an interesting book. Many people are confused about it. We will not talk about it now, but please, I did a long series of on it. I have a book that I will release next year on it. But go to our website. Just go to School of Bible Exegesis. Look for the book of Ecclesiastes. I started from chapter 1 to the very last chapter. I took the whole of book of Ecclesiastes, section by section. I discussed it in detail. So please, I'm recommending, if you want to understand Ecclesiastes, go and listen to the series. The book of Ecclesiastes, that's the title. You go to our website, pastor.ng. Just go to audio, under audio, go to School of Bible Exegesis, and then look for the book of Ecclesiastes. About 13 to 16 messages, not very sure, but we took it bit by bit, and you will get insight from it. You know what Solomon was talking about. But I want to explain something here, verse 9. He said, don't be quick in your heart to be angry. He said, because anger resides in the bosom of fools. Do not be eager in your heart to be angry, Solomon said. Now, I want to explain that using Nigerian situation right now to explain something. What was Solomon telling us about here? When he said fool, let me tell you what Solomon calls a fool. A fool is not what you and I call a fool in the context of Solomon. This is what Solomon calls a fool. Assuming you're a lawyer and I'm a doctor. As far as medicine is concerned, you're a fool. That's Solomon's use of the expression. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Okay, or I go before the lawyer. I need to understand some things about a legal matter. I take what I'm called in the Bible is simple or a fool in the context of knowledge of the law. Do you get my point? Now, that word fool is also applied to general life. There are some people that they don't care about anything. They're happy. Are you getting my point? Just wake up in the morning, they're just happy. They think when the federal government says that there's no money, they say that, how can there be no money? Are we not the one printing the money? How can there be no money? If you don't have paper, let's supply paper. Now, the person is not a bad person, but Solomon calls such a person a fool. Now, it's not an insult per se. It's a description of his level of ignorance. So some people are, in general affairs of life, they have not learned. You understand my point? They are not aware. They are not enlightened. So any matter you don't know about, you are technically a fool in that area. Now listen to this. Solomon now said, and please listen to this carefully, because I want to bring the area where many of us have acted foolishly. And another assignment I have for this evening, apart from recruiting for God, which is part of recruiting for God anyway, is to bring out our foolishness so we can repent of it. Now, are you following what I'm saying? Now, you know what Solomon said? That when you don't know a matter, in that area, what are you? A fool. He said you get angry easily. I don't know whether you are getting my point. Let me give you an example. The man who does not know they don't print money. Every day he wakes up, they have not paid him salaries. He works for federal government or state government. And they said, why have you not paid? And they said, there's no money. Federal allocation has not come. We are owing the banks. And why has federal allocation not come? The Federal Executive Council said, there is no money. You know, every day he wakes up, what is happening? He's angry. Why is he angry? Why can't they just go to Nigerian Security Minting and Printing Corporation and print? And he comes to church
And he starts saying, no, brethren, let us pray for the wickedness of some men. They have the press under their control. Why did God give them the power of the press? Let us pray. Lord, remove the press from them. Begin to pray in the name of Jesus. God, every enemy that doesn't want to. And they are praying with favor. On one premise, the man does not know the meaning of there's no money. Are you getting my point? That is why the Bible says you need to be slow to speak and slow to wrath. Don't get angry easily. You know why? Most of the things that we are provoked to anger concerning are things we don't understand. Let me get practical in our country. There are people who are angry with the current head of state as a cause of all our problems. Now, I think they are very silly. Do you know my reason? Because there's no new problem that has developed under him. No, please, at the end, don't talk now. If you put up your hand, I will tell you to come down by fire. So let's just leave them. When we finish, come and see me personally. There's no new. I'm not saying there's no problem. Did I say there's no problem? I just said what? There's no new problem. It's the same problem we've been suffering, let's just say it like that, for a long time. We did not start with Jonathan too anyway. Sometimes they go up and then they cool down. They go up, they cool down. But I'm not here to defend the government or anything. I just want to explain a particular principle. We wake up every day, a lot, especially people in the South. And you know why they are that angry? They didn't vote for him in the first place. So the anger is still there. And then there are stereotypes we have placed in our mind. And we said, this man is responsible. Now let's leave the federal government. Down to our state here. There are problems with you. They said that it is this man that is the problem. Our governor. Now if you're a member of, he's in PDP, right? Yes. If you're an APC man, you are sure. But if you're a PDP man, don't mind the APC people. They don't understand anything. Now, every day we get angry. You see what I'm talking about now? Now, please, can I just take a break? I'm talking to Christians. I'm not talking to people on the street. If you're not a believer, please, you need to learn what I'm talking about. If you say you're a Christian, I'm teaching you the word of God. I don't want you to, in your heart, disagree with me. It's not safe. What I'm presenting to you from this point, all right, is God's word. So pay attention and learn, and do not shut your heart so as to argue with me, because you will lose out entirely from what I've come to deliver in Port Harcourt. Just open your heart and learn. Okay? Because you see, life has different levels. And I want to emphasize to you that the spiritual controls the physical. And whoever is the ruler of the nation, of the state, whoever is the senator, all these physical rulers you see are the manifestations of things that already occur in the realm of the spirit. They are not the problem. Let me give you an example. Even if an armed robber comes to your house and shoots you and injures you, God said, I should tell you today, he is not your problem. Your problem should be asking that, what happened to your guards, your angels? I hope you're getting my point. You know, every day, there are enough people in America who have guns, who are willing to kill Donald Trump. Do you know that? Why is he still alive? They can't get to him. These white supremacists, all the 8 years Obama was the head of state, they hated him. I hope you know that. And almost all of them have high caliber weapons. Why could they not kill him? Simple. They couldn't get to him. So if tomorrow one simple small boy comes, walks up to Donald Trump and shoots him in the chest, nobody is going to worry about the small boy because they are all over America. Shooting people is a normal thing in America. I hope you know that. Mass shooting occurs in America on the average once a day. Now, you know what they call mass shooting? Mass shooting is not a bank robber enters a bank and shoots 5 people. That's not considered mass shooting. You know why? He had a target. He wanted to steal. Mass shooting is not when 2 boys who want to rob a filling station goes there and shoots 4 people. They had a target they wanted to steal. That's not counted. What they call mass shooting in America, in the world, that the way statistics is when you don't know the people and you don't care about them and you have no purpose, no anger, nothing. You just wake up in the morning, just shoot 5 people. That's what they call mass shooting. America has 1 a day on the average.
No, it's not worth reporting anymore. Otherwise, that's all you will report. You can check the statistics. I still read this a few days ago in BBC, but last month's BBC report.